everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, during the height of the atmosphere getting very beat up over Tucson last night, looking at that radar, I don't think they could have put any more boxes and triangles over that radar. I mean, everywhere you looked in Tucson, there was a, it seemed like there was a severe weather activity going on, flash flooding. I mean, it was a crazy night.
Well, there was a at least a couple of storm alerts that were put out that people got on their smartphones and was put out over the radio. So, and some places did get hit pretty hard, especially along the that northern part of Tucson around along Sunrise. They had the poles that got knocked over there at Sunrise and Pontotoc.
Oh yeah, close to the Buckmaster Bungalow. But for the summer, we're logging in my unofficial rain gauge about 6 inches. So,
at least from what I hear, Jasper got a good rain last night that has really helped with the firefighting efforts there.
Jasper National Park, that is such a tragedy. One of the most beautiful areas in the world, Banff and Lake Louise and Jasper. Jasper just being, that fire actually went into the town site yesterday, destroyed a bunch of buildings. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show. Welcome. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. It's Friday, the 26th of July, 2024. We are now part of the growing influence of Bustos Media here in town. We've got 5 radio stations here under one roof. The most recent acquisition, The Drive, doing very well, 101.7. But this one is KVOI, The Voice, 1030. And in January, we'll begin our 15th year with this radio show and our 37th year in Tucson broadcasting. We have our worldwide live listening podcast and show archive at buckmastershow.com. All of our content, pretty much 99% of the shows that we've done since January of 2011, available at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews and we invite calls, 790-2040, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of our media partners, we like to do a Friday media shout out. Jim Ninsel is here from TucsonSentinel.com. Jim, thanks to you and Dylan Smith and your growing team at TucsonSentinel.com for supporting my work here.
Well, thank you for supporting ours.
There you go. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear, supports us. And our latest media partner is the Tucson Agenda, which is growing and doing some good work over there. Kurt and Caitlin.
It's great to see these little independent media operations sprouting up as our legacy media struggles.
Struggling. All right, our Friday Focus interview, and we try to bring in the chief every quarter, Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar, who now is about three and a half years. Kazmar has headed up the police department, and it's not just a little bitty operation that he's really charged with running a $220 million business with 1,300 employees. Chief, it's good to see you again.
Afternoon, Tucson. Bill, Jim, good to be with you.
And the business is trying to protect people. Like you say, or like the slogan says, you know, serve and protect. And that's what people worry so much about. Is Tucson a place that they can live in relative safety, Chief?
Well, great question, Bill. And the answer is yes. We are the 33rd largest city in the country. So we are not Mayberry. We are a major city. And there's pros and cons with that, with 250 square miles. We love our old sleepy old Pueblo, but it's certainly not that. And we have some challenges. We have some challenges with fentanyl that we can talk about today with our proximity to the border. We have challenges with traffic safety, and we have challenges with gun crime.
Let's start with the latest numbers on crime. How are we doing? What is the 30,000-foot view of Tucson and crime?
So 30,000 foot view is, you know, we remain committed to our strategic initiatives, which are reducing gun crime, impacting fentanyl, traffic safety, and communication both internally and with the community. And so when we, you know, we're daily tracking our data to see how we're doing and how things are looking. Our part one crimes, and these numbers are through June, 1,928 crimes was a 3% reduction year to date and a 2% reduction over a 5-year average.
And these are vetted numbers, right?
Once I go through the data, okay. We'll talk about how those numbers come in, because okay. I know there's some questions yes. about that based upon our annual report that we put out, which I'm not surprised to hear because we haven't done one of those in a long time, but we will continue to do those in the future. It's important for the community to know how hard your TPD team members are out there in contributing to a safe community. Part one property crime, we had just under 6,400 year to date. That's down about 1.4% and down 9.5% on a 5-year average. But just remember, burglaries and property crime change across the country in a post-COVID world where a lot of folks now live at home. And so that's a different impact. We've done 2,500 narcotics arrests year to date. That's up 4.5%. Year to date and up 46% on a 5-year average with over 300 deflections. Traffic stops, we're over 20,000 traffic stops. I suspect we're going to be talking about one of those later.
Mm-hmm.
And citations are up 6%, written warnings are up 28%, and verbal warnings are down 7%. And traffic fatalities, which I'll close out with, we're at 50 year to date, 47 last year, which is up 6%. We've seen an uptick. We're at 18 pedestrians year to date when we were at 13 last year. And I'll tell you, the fentanyl is certainly impacting the unsheltered population and their jaywalking and in our dark skies. It's a perfect storm of traffic safety issues here in Tucson.
And the Tucson Crime Free Coalition says that the property crimes, those numbers are too low.
So there's speculation on whether people are frustrated with our call response times and yes. not calling, or if you do a web-based report. There is a lag, but you know, I want to draw everybody's attention to, you know, really to think that through. There's no, you know, my job as chief is to be as transparent as possible, and a previous chief told me once, the trash doesn't get better, you know, it doesn't smell better if you don't take it out, and bad news doesn't get better if you sit on it. We certainly know that. So through NIBRS, which is called the National Incident-Based Reporting System, it's been an evolving process and changing expectations for how reports are brought in and then processed and then reported back to the federal government. We're all required to do that. We're working to be NIBRS compliant. There has been drag with that. It hasn't been a secret to Tucson that we've had structural and staffing issues within the records department, which we've I'm happy to say that we've restructured and we've launched a new pay program, and we're finally compensating folks for what they should be compensated for. And body worn cameras changed the landscape of what records redaction looked like, because now we have folks who are professional staff team members watching body worn camera footage of some pretty violent horrific things that they have to see. So all that's real time, second for second redaction. So pleased to report we are catching up. But while there is a drag in reporting, ultimately all of those numbers come forward, and I'm required to report those to the federal government. So I can't really push back against folks who aren't reporting. What I would say is we can't put resources in the areas that need them if folks aren't reporting the crime. So if you're not reporting, or if you've been disappointed or frustrated with our performance as chief, I would say, hey, give us another shot. Keep reporting that, because it matters. And if you're not comfortable reporting through the police department, you can report it through your council member as
well. All right. Here's Jim Nintzel from TucsonSentinel.com.
Chief, thanks for being here.
You bet.
And we had a story in the Sentinel. My boss, Dylan Smith, reported last week about a traffic stop that you referenced earlier. Senator Justine Wadsack was pulled over. She was clocked at 71 in a 35 zone on Speedway Boulevard, said she was racing home because she needed to charge her Tesla. And she had legislative immunity at the time because the legislature was in session.
I had not heard about that, by the way. Did you realize that there was something like
that? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, okay. I was familiar, but do you want to, since Bill was not familiar with it. Do you want to just take a moment to explain the legislative immunity right off the bat here?
Not to get too down that rabbit hole, but there are some protections that are afforded and provided both in civil and criminal situations for our legislature folks. And we honor and respect those, which is what happened here.
And that's during the legislative session.
Correct.
So in this case, she was pulled over by your officer and she let him know that she was a senator and he did not cite her at the time because of the legislative immunity issue. However, you guys, after the session ended, did attempt to deliver the ticket, and the senator said that she would not come down to accept the ticket, and that she later said that she was a victim of political persecution, and that the police department was out to get her, and she claimed to be investigating the police department, and that's why you're retaliating against her in this manner, and also that TPD had endorsed her opponent. So I'm just wondering if you want to unpack some of what the senator has said in regards to the department.
Try to put the pin back in the grenade here as you toss it to me, Jim. So what I would say is we just went over traffic fatality. We have a traffic safety problem here in Tucson. When I came back as chief, I reconstituted the traffic unit. While it's small but mighty, we're averaging over 35,000 traffic contacts a year. Traffic enforcement is not a sole solution to, there's some ownership from the community on how we behave and how we drive. And if we're distracted, there's ownership with folks who are choosing to jaywalk instead of using a lit crosswalk and making sure that traffic is yielding the right of way. There's traffic solutions that we have to continue to look at as a city with lighting technology while respecting the dark skies, but also having safe spaces for folks to travel in non-motorized vehicles. With all that being said, I'm proud of my staff. I support my officer who made the traffic stop on the senator. He followed. He did everything very. He did everything as he should. The contact is recorded on body-worn camera, and she'll certainly have her day in court to tell her side of the story. And she refuted that she wasn't going that fast. So, what I'll say is we don't have a history of pulling people over for things that we don't observe or have information or the evidence to support in court. So the whether she was guilty of the accusation or not will be for a judge to decide. What I'll tell the community is if you're going over 20 miles an hour, it's highly probable that you're going to be cited for criminal speeding. And what that means is that's a class 3 misdemeanor. But ultimately, then the judge will decide what the sanction, if we had enough evidence to show that, in fact, the crime was committed. And the second part of that is whether it's appropriate to charge that person for a criminal violation or there's some kind of negotiation down to a civil infraction, which typically does happen, whether you're a senator or you or I or Bill gets pulled over going up to a sanctuary tonight.
Can you clarify about the notion that TPD has endorsed Senator Wadsworth?
I think what she's conflating is you will not find a comment from me as a chief of police endorsing. I don't have the authority to do that. I'm not the sheriff. I'm the chief of police. I'm held to the same standard that all other city directors are to with political events. So I think what she's referring to is probably our labor organization, which is an independent of the TPD specifically, or my position as a chief of police, and that's probably more than likely what she's referring to.
And are you aware of any investigation that Senator Wadsack has begun into the Tucson Police Department?
No, there's several methods to do that, both through city mechanisms or the Attorney General's office or the FBI. We have a lot of contacts with folks, and occasionally folks are not happy, and so it's not unusual for us to have ongoing complaints in our office or professional standards or litigation going on in a variety of events, but facts matter, and I'm not here to report any factual investigations that I'm aware of.
All right, let's go to caller Matt, who's been waiting very patiently at 790-2040 on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt, you are with Bill, the Chief, and Jim Nintzel. Go ahead.
Hey, Chief. Thank you for everything you and your officers do. First, if Senator Kelly does become a person who is nominated or picked by the to be the VP nominee for the Democrats. Is the Tucson Police Department up to working with Secret Service if he's in Tucson? And, you know, with regards to locals, we saw what happened in Butler. Second, the county has the transition center approaching its one-year anniversary. Has it helped, reduce recidivism? Have you seen that when they release the inmates from there, are your officers, you know, cognizant of people coming out of the jail, and the hope is to keep them getting good resources so that they don't have to end up back in jail.
Okay. All right.
One last thing.
Three-part question. Okay.
The DOJ report on Phoenix, did you look at it? And do you have any comments? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, three-part question. Go ahead, Chief, Secret Service, and Police.
We work with Secret Service now. We will continue to, and I'm confident in that between local law enforcement, which is a regional effort, and our federal partners that we can continue to keep our elected officials and politicians safe. So absolutely no concerns there. It's unfortunate what happened. Mistakes happen. I hope we all learn from it and we get some transparent reporting and we can all learn from it. Number two, transition center pilot is absolutely showing promise. I'm a huge, huge advocate of moving from a pilot to a fully invested system where we can focus on reducing recidivism. 80% of folks coming out means they're, you know, we talk about recidivism for folks that don't know what that is. It means they go back out and they commit additional crimes. So I'm not looking to double the police force, which is realistically not possible, both in having folks interested in funding that. But what can happen is us think differently about the systems we have, including while somebody's captive audience at the Pima County Jail, how do we invest resources to try to get those behaviors to change? So that is a pilot. One example of when, you know, we have a drug case that goes through and we have an arrest and a room for growth is when that case is dismissed, folks are not, because of the way the pilot is structured, they're not put through the transition center when those charges are dismissed. So I'm really looking at it from a multifaceted approach to where how do we really help these folks who are dealing with substance misuse disorders to get them off the streets. The last part of the DOJ report is, every major city chief in this country read that report, including myself. My entire team and I will actually be at a command level. We'll be debriefing that report next week just for lessons learned. I don't agree with everything in the report. I think it's not, you know, it's, we talk about timeliness of transparency when we talk 3 to 5 years after the fact without specific incidents.
Talking about Phoenix.
Yeah. When we talk about those types of things in DOJ consent degree type reports, it's problematic to not have that information real time. Chief Sullivan's a great human being who came into that department knowing they had huge challenges, and I think that he'll be able to lead that department and community through this this experience.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Chief Kazmar sticks around for segment two, as does Jim Nintzel of TucsonSentinel.com. Bill with you on a Friday. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Lots of ground to cover in not a lot of time with the police chief. Chad Kazmar is with us. Try to bring the chief in at least once a quarter. And my co-media host, Jim Nintzel, is here. Long time associated with the Tucson Weekly. Many people still, I'm sure, Jim, associate you with the Weekly. Oh, I remember you from the Tucson Weekly. Well, you're over at the Tucson Sentinel enjoying it very much, right?
I cannot believe my good fortune that I get paid to do this kind of work again.
There you go. All right, Chief. Fentanyl, is it the main crime driver right now in this community? Bottom line.
Absolutely. 50% of the fentanyl in this country continues to be seized in the state of Arizona. So our proximity to the border and the affordability of the fentanyl is 98% cheaper here in our state than it is in other parts of the country. And that is driving the unsheltered population issues. It's driving the shoplifting and theft and the plight and, you know, kind of the trash and just, you know, the things that we all drive around town and you saw today and I saw today. Those are big challenges. And it is, we are starting to see more and more of that be involved in the violent crime issues.
What's your thoughts on turning things around?
My thought is, you know, as a native Tucsonan, and I ride the loop once a month to get a, you know, perspective of what's going on, not just in the city of Tucson, but in Pima County, is the more metropolitan effort that we continue to throw at this as Pima County and the city of Tucson. Regional approach has to occur. I work closely with all of my local law enforcement partners, including the sheriff. But as we continue to look at, you know, meeting people where they're at, fentanyl is 100 times stronger than morphine. It's double the potency of heroin. And so really looking at folks don't want to come off of this because they can get it and it's accessible. And it's some pretty nasty withdrawal. So that's where we enter in thinking about how do we do MAT treatment, medicated assisted treatment. Folks can't just quit fentanyl. They have to be, you know, they have to be on a program and it has to be supported and overseen. And so when somebody has this mental health or substance misuse disorder, how do we treat that? So my big thing in a world where we do a lot of finger pointing is just assessing how are our strategies working for us. And I don't think anyone in Tucson drives around and says, wow, we really have our arms wrapped around fentanyl and the unsheltered population. So we are part of broader conversations at TPD and the city of Tucson. There are strategies through the Community Safety, Health, and Wellness Program, through the opiate dollars that we got through settlement. There has been a shift. I'm sure everybody's been following the news on the state dollars and what they're allocating. But that's where we talk about transition centers and really maximizing the impact of the nonprofits we have. All of these things are going to have to come together or this problem will get worse. It won't get better.
Here's Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Sentinel.
We always hear that, you know, this latest drug is the worst drug everyone's ever seen, whether it was heroin or meth or fentanyl. And is fentanyl, though, different from what you've seen with other drugs?
24 years of law enforcement, almost 5 years of undercover work with drugs and violent crime. Absolutely. We have never seen something like fentanyl. And that the reason behind that is because the cartels don't have to grow crops for this. They get the chemicals from other countries. I won't say which one, so it doesn't become political. They manufacture it an hour and a half south of us, and then it pumps across our border. And, you know, large quantities of it are coming across in vehicles and semi-trucks. But it, we do see other folks, also human trafficking, it coming across in drones. I mean, the cartels are very creative, and they're far more nimble than government is when we try to respond to these. It is absolute crisis.
Is it coming through like the border in huge trucks, or how is it being transported?
Everywhere. The cartel is very creative. The cartels are very creative, and there's two primary cartels that drive this, but they're very creative, and it's low risk. It costs cents for them to produce this. So when they're selling it for wholesale over a dollar or even 50 cents, you know, you can do the math. It's a very profitable drug for them.
All right, let's get some updates. Whenever you're here on the program, not only do we talk about the latest crime statistics, I want to hear about staffing, and I'm sure our listeners do too.
Staffing, we're working on it. It's so I'll start with join@tucsonpd.org. We're opening another recruitment up next week. So if you have amazing human beings in your life that want to serve others with a rewarding career, it always has been. It continues to be a great place. If I had it all to do overall again, I'd be back here doing the same thing. So we have 1,327 authorized staff positions. We have 1,218 of those filled. We have 818 authorized commission folks filling seats right now. 47 of those folks are in training. 41 of those are within the academy, and 6 are out in field training. It gives me just under 740 deployable cops who are out there serving you. And that means the detectives in buildings and also that are out there doing work, and the patrol officers that you see in uniform. We have 152 community service officers. We're authorized at 157, and 18 of those folks are in training. That supports, again, you've all heard me say this before, we are committed to our grow our own philosophy. We can hire folks straight out of high school, and they can make more than the median income in Tucson, be the breadwinners. We're going to pay for their education. Great parental leave, great benefits. We have 445 authorized professional staff, and we have 400 of those folks seated in positions. And let's not forget about our professional staff investigators, which was a new position we've recently created, where you can come out and do detective work after a modified academy experience if you have a college degree or 3 years of investigative experience. And so what that all totals up to is Tucson needs to know, while we do have two fiscal difficult years ahead of us as a city, we will continue to be hiring police officers, community service officers, professional staff investigators, and other key professional staff positions like analysts to make sure that we can maximize impact of and make a safe Tucson.
Okay, here's Jim Yentl.
Can you talk a little bit about those community service officers and the difference between them and a sworn police officer?
Absolutely. So again, 18 years of age, high school degree or GED eligible. They're not guided by Arizona Post standards, so I have a little more autonomy as a chief and a director within the city to decide, you know, what human mistakes that I can look and go, okay, that doesn't define them. Let's give them a shot to come work with us, and then we can help mature them. What I love about that is at 18 years of age, you know, they haven't set their perspective on what they think about law enforcement, you know, based upon media that they're watching, and they can actually come make their own opinion about us in Tucson. What do they do? A variety of things that don't take a gun and a badge. I call it blank canvas thinking. Let's start from scratch and not just add on to a system that are, you know, community service officers have been around in Tucson for over a decade, but below 20 or 30 of them. And now we have over 150 team members in these seats. And so we've just really rethought, you know, what can we use these folks and how can they contribute? So they help us in recruiting. They help us at community events. They can take your burglary that's been over. If you're involved in a collision that's blocking, you're probably going to see one of the team members show up. And how you define them is they're wearing a light blue uniform. So it looks a little bit different. They will be, I'm not excited both as chief and a parent that they look too much like police officers. Mm-hmm. And so as we are retiring our Crown Victorias, which you also know has been a big priority for me, they're going to be driving Ford Mavericks, which is a four-door little pickup truck. And it's, you know, got lights and sirens and all that good stuff. So they have the equipment they need to safely do their job. But we're really making an effort so the community knows that they are not police officers.
Speaking of Crown Vics, is there a police report coming out on the unfortunate loss of a TPD officer a few months ago.
There will be. We're still, you know, we're still obviously in within our court proceedings on that case, and we will do an administrative review that is underway that will be, you know, public in the next few months here to come. And in the meantime, we continue to work with Ford in hoping that they're going to get caught up on the production of their Ford Pursuit SUVs, and we can get our over 100 patrol Crown Victorias retired here. I'd love this calendar year, but certainly this fiscal year.
Okay, here's Jim again.
Yeah, you have had, as you mentioned, an aging fleet there, and how much is it costing to replace these things, and are the resources there from the city for you to move forward with that?
Man, fleet costs, everybody listening today knows everything's gotten more expensive, but our patrol cars from five compared to 5 years ago are 40% more expensive. So a fully outfitted patrol vehicle is pushing $90,000 now.
Wow.
And so, you know, I have over half the city fleet. We have a large fleet, of course, and with the nature of the work, we damage vehicles. So we have over 200 Crown Victorias still in the fleet. We've had Ford Pursuit SUVs on order for over 3 years in different stages. So the production of vehicles in general that the country is facing has also crippled law enforcement across the country. And it's not just Ford. Chevy is also a primary dealer of Pursuit vehicles for police departments. So the challenge for us as a PD is we could use anywhere from $8 to $12 million of investment, not necessarily through the police department budget, but through city investment of dollars. Prop 101 was the primary driver of maintaining our fleet, which sunsetted for us over a year and a half ago, and then we moved to truth and taxation dollars. What we are having ongoing dialogue about is what does a different sales tax look like for Tucson, and could a part of that be in for public safety, and what part of that could fund necessary things like patrol vehicles, detective vehicles, our firearms, our body armor, our Axon, the tools that we want to be transparent with. All those things have a big price tag.
And that was something the council was talking about earlier this year for a sales tax election, potentially in another week, and they backed away from that.
Unfortunately, it didn't come together, and these are the types of conversations you can't rush. You have to see where community's at and how they're feeling, and how other obligations are performing with truth and taxation, and Prop 101 is that's transition in parks, and it goes on and on. And so I think we have a great record as a city of in the last decade of saying, hey, if we run a sales tax and a proposition, we will give you tangible things to show a service delivery improvement for the city of Tucson. And so I think we'll be able to see that in the future.
Go ahead.
I started out asking you about a specific traffic stop, but are obviously the streets, it seems like a lot of people are speeding out there. I see people running red lights all the time. Where are we at on traffic enforcement from your department?
Again, last year over 30,000 traffic contacts, and that's why I push back any kind of conversation around political persecution. We're out there to make our streets safer, and we absolutely have a traffic safety problem here in Tucson. And I challenge, if somebody's in their car listening today, I bet you in the next 60 seconds as you're driving right now, look around and you will find somebody with a phone in their hand, which is illegal. Whether you're at a traffic stop, at a light, if you're in your vehicle, you're not supposed to be touching your phone. And it's a citable violation. You're going to see folks speeding. You're going to see folks distracted. You're going to see folks running red lights. Left turn is a huge one. Until you get that arrow, and even when you get that arrow, what I challenge you to do, even if you're not on a motorcycle, is just look left and look right and make sure somebody's not going to run that light. That split second of pause can save your life, your family member's life, or just an unfortunate experience where you're dealing with insurance companies and everything else. So I don't know how we make the community more thoughtful. It's not just Tucson or the state of Arizona. It's the country post-COVID. Things have changed, but people just are not as thoughtful as they used to be.
All right, let's go back to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Greg would like to speak with the chief of police. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Bill. Chief, thanks for doing this, for coming on and staying in touch with the community. And we're lucky to have KBOI to do that. I saw a photo of, I guess it was in Japan somewhere, where when there's an intersection like we have here after the monsoons and the storms, the lights are out. And the officers, I feel like their safety is at stake. How about a platform that raises that cop 3 or 4 feet off the ground like I've seen in other major cities so that they can be seen from 4 or 5 car lanes behind? Is that an idea that might be worth looking into?
Thanks for the question, Greg. I think that goes into my earlier statement about we can't enforce our way out of this and re-engineering traffic roadways and is part of that. And certainly ideas like this could certainly be a viable. I think Tucson is so big, it'd be so expensive to do that. I don't know that we're going to get that out, you know, as a viable response in the next year. But, you know, the blue light was obviously something we piloted. I don't think we've seen great success there, but we're going to continue to try those types of things. We've seen across transportation reassess the speed limits and trying to get vehicles to slow down. New vehicles are so airtight and they're so quiet that it's difficult sometimes to hear sirens. Folks are distracted with computer monitor size screens in their cars now that are co-driving the car. So mm-hmm. I think as we also see technology and automation of driving, that technology I think will also help us decrease collisions.
Question from a listener very quickly coming in on my Facebook page. What about speed cameras? They were banned, right?
Absolute tragedy that those were banned because that takes all bias, allegations of bias out of that. And we saw an uptick in traffic collisions and fatalities the minute that we pulled those from our community, and I hope that we can have that conversation again and bring it back.
All right, what have I not covered in my stack of stuff? 911 and 311.
Yeah, you're going to have Director McDonough come. I'm still yes. super proud of the work that they continue to do down there with her team, the evolution of 301. You know, our systems aren't perfect, and none of us have the staffing that we would like, but I think that's the case around the state and the country, and we're being as nimble as we can. But, you know, when there's moments of scarcity, there's opportunity to get creative and to onboard technology, and that's what we're doing. So we continue to do that with them. Next show, I'll be able to tease more collaborative technology that we're launching, and maybe I'll leave that for her to tease with the community.
Okay, Jim, what about you on your stack of stuff? What have we not covered?
Is recruiting new officers a challenge?
It is. It absolutely is. In our last class, we've been averaging since I've been back. We have not increased our staff through recruitment. We've increased our staff through retention, retaining the amazing staff that we have. We're losing over 100 years of experience with about 5 employees just this year. And so when 5 employees come in with 9 months of training, that doesn't replace, you know, 100 plus years of experience. And we have to start thinking about it that way. But recruiting has gotten better across the country, and we're seeing a little bit of that here. We're going to have to continue to make sure that we have competitive pay. Tucson Police specifically in the region is the busiest police department and deals with some of the most difficult challenges. And I think, you know, we need to continue to make sure they're compensated for that.
Also, I want to cover real quickly the trauma of being a police officer. What kind of resources are available mental health wise?
Trauma is real. We continue to invest through our wellness division and struggle well training with our Boulder Crest partners. The foundation of that is post-traumatic growth. It's science-backed and based. It really reinforces that just because you work in the 911 center, you're a firefighter or a medic or a police officer, that you're destined to have a life of post-traumatic stress disorder, because we see 90% more trauma than the average human being. So we continue to invest resources to unpack experiences. And, you know, every time, you know, we see a homicide or a traffic fatality or a violent crime, there are professional staff and commission resources that have to touch that case. They feel it, they investigate it, they are exposed to the trauma of the family who lost someone going after the suspect. And we have to continue to invest those resources for healthy officers.
Getting those images out of your head is pretty hard.
It's really hard. And, you know, healthy, invested officers will produce and provide better services to the community. So we continue to invest in those resources thanks to the support of mayor and council and having funding that allows me to do that. But we're not there yet, but we're going to continue working on it.
And since I'm the host of the show, I can make a decision here. A late call coming in from Brian. So, Brian, I am way past time here, but go ahead with your question for the chief. Please keep it quick.
Will do. Okay, Chad, this is Brian Edwards, by the way. Have we been able to look into offering a transfer portal for laterals like they're doing in California, where we can actually offer them an incentive and pay them to come over to help meet our recruitment level?
Great question, Brian. In our last promotion ceremony, I handed out two lateral badges. We are hiring laterals. I'm not a big advocate of the hiring bonus because it creates problems for me with the dedicated staff that we have here. So what I do is I make sure that we account for their experience and make sure they have appropriate pay.
All right, Chief, we're going to let you go. Thanks for being here. I think we're all booked with you for our next visit. Well, you'll be back with us in September. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Tucson. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right. Jim Nintzel, stick around. A couple of quick questions about the primary, which is coming up Tuesday. Jim Nintzel back with Bill Buckmaster after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Jim Nintzel is here from the TucsonSentinel.com. Jim, where did this hour go? I can't believe it.
And we probably could have gone for another hour.
Yeah, easily. We've got Election Day coming up, the primary so early, Tuesday, the end of July. What should we know about this primary?
You know, I think a lot of races will be settled in it because of the way so
county
many districts are set up.
Yeah.
Either there's no candidate going into November, or the playing field is so heavily drawn in one direction or another that it's not going to really be a race. But I think the county attorney's race is definitely one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Laura Conover come in on this whole plan to reform the way the county attorney's
justice reform.
Yeah. And you have Mike Jetty, who's saying that she's driven off a lot of experienced prosecutors, and he's really got the support of the former county County Attorney Barbara LaWall, who feels as though I think her legacy has been tarnished by the criticism that has been laid out about the way she ran the office. So that's going to be an interesting one. Although, you know, it is very challenging to knock out an incumbent. I will say that Mike Jetty has his work cut out for him, although he has run a very aggressive campaign.
What else? What other race?
I think the District 3 Board of Supervisors race is going to be real interesting. You know, that's the open seat. Sharon Bronson has given up. It's right. A Democrat-leaning district, so who comes out of the primary has definitely a leg up in November. You have four candidates. I would say Jennifer Allen landed the endorsement of Jane Fonda yesterday, and has, you know, the endorsement of Raul Grijalva and Regina Romero and half the Tucson City Council. She's raised more than all her other opponents combined, so I would say she's the favorite to win in that particular race. But, you know, that's why we hold elections to see who comes out. But there's three other candidates in that race who are all making their first run for office, except for former school board member Miguel Cuevas. So we'll see where that one lands. And there's that district or legislative district 17 race. Justine Wadsack, who we were talking about earlier, is facing a rematch. 2 years ago, she knocked Vince Leach out of office. And Vince is coming back and trying to see if he can win his seat back. Very challenging to return. And I can't think of a Republican candidate who's come back 2 years later to reclaim a seat. But, you know, again, that's why we have the elections. And, you know, precedent is not principle. And we've seen a lot of crazy things happen in politics lately. So I think those are certainly three big ones to be keeping an eye on.
And we will deconstruct it. You'll be back with us. Actually, you're going to be here three times in 1 week. You're going to be here next Wednesday, you and your boss, Dylan Smith, both with me in studio. We'll talk about the results of the election. And then you'll be with me a week from today as we speak with the Attorney General for Arizona, Chris Mays.
So yeah, it's time moving right into co-host territory.
Thank
here.
You. All right, Jim.
Sidekick, perhaps.
Any final thoughts about the primary?
You know, I think I just encourage people to turn out. You get about 50% turnout with the Democrats. I think 2 years ago, you had about 57% turnout with the Republicans. So these are important races that in many cases will decide who's representing you. And they do not get the attention that the general election gets.
No, that's for
so,
sure.
So, you know, I just really encourage folks. There's emergency voting going on tomorrow and on Monday. So if you can't get out to the polls on Tuesday, those are places you can go. You can drop off your early ballot at a lot of libraries around town. There's a whole list on the Tucson Sentinel website of these emergency voting and early voting sites. So, okay. You know, get out there and cast your ballot, I guess, is the thing we should keep in mind.
Congratulations. You've really been covering this election all in at TucsonSentinel.com.
Well, thank you very much. It's, as I said, it's I'm amazed I get to do this kind of work again. So.
Pinch yourself.
Yeah, it's
all right. Your old buddy Dan Gibson is waiting on the live line to talk about Weekend Watch. So, Jim, have a good weekend.
Thank you so much.
All right, be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region.
averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Away we go. It is time for the Weekend Watch with Dan Gibson, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Selling Silver City is easy in the summer. It's cooler over there, probably 10 to 15 degrees cooler. What are we talking about? 87 midday over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning by visiting their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, before you make the approximately 3-hour drive over there. You'll have a good time. Send a lot of our listeners over there. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. I've got Jim Nintzel here, too, your old buddy.
Oh my gosh! I miss those days. Just getting to spend some time with the Nints. You know what I mean?
Those were great days, Dan.
We can look back on them fondly.
Yes, we certainly can.
What do you got for us?
Well, so much, really. I know you both are big rockabilly fans. That's what's word on the street. Over at the screening room tonight, there is a B-movie and rockabilly doubleheader concert. They're going to be showing the film Hot Rod Girl, but then there will also be live performances by the Rez Tones, the Still Knights, and the Homewreckers. It's a whole extravaganza at the screening room starting at 7 p.m. For some reason, the website doesn't mention how much it is, but it can't be that much, right? I mean, how much could that possibly be? How much does a banana even cost? You know what I mean? It's going to be fine.
I don't know. Probably very reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine so. One of my favorite comedians is in town this weekend, Joe Pera, who you may remember from his brief run on Adult Swim with his own television program. He's going to be at the Rialto Theater Saturday, July 27th at 8 p.m. Tickets range from $35 to $55. Doors are at 7. Show is at 8 p.m. It does mention that parental discretion is advised because there may be adult material. That being said, I have seen Joe Pera, and the material is not that adult, to be honest. He just talks a lot about Michigan. It's fine.
Okay. A lot of parallels between him and Taylor Swift, I understand.
Very similar people.
Yeah.
Very similar, yes. If you ever have a chance, his TV show on Adult Swim was delightful. There was an episode about the song Baba O'Reilly that was almost perfect television. Might be able to check it out on YouTube. I have no idea. You guys love Free Things, right?
Yeah, Sure.
Yeah, sure. Who doesn't, right? This Saturday at 10 a.m. at Heroes and Villains Comics, Games, and Vinyl Records on Broadway, they are giving away 1,500 records for free.
Really?
Each attendee will receive a vinyl pack containing three records pulled from various collections, and there will have additional raffles for even more free records. Also, everyone who shows up could win a brand new turntable. So everybody wins.
And where is that again?
Heroes and Villains is at 4533 East Broadway Boulevard, just a little bit down from the Kentucky.
Okay.
Why that's the reference point for it, I don't know, but that seems about right.
All right, Dan, out of time, but I could take one quick one.
Go see The Muppets Take Manhattan. It's the third best Muppets movie, but it's still pretty good. Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Fox Tucson Theater. Tickets, $8.
All right, Dan, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you all, too.
All right, Dan Gibson, Weekend Watch. Jim Nintzel, thanks, Jim, for being here today.
Always a pleasure.
All right, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. All my friends here at Bustos Media Tucson who treat me so well. Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great weekend.